can see that that's what I'm thinking we'll think about. Just going to pray that we might do something of that, the finding of the Joseph. Okay. Heavenly Father, I just ask that you're with us and that you speak through me, that my incoherent ramblings actually make some sense, and that, that you'll touch people's hearts, maybe move through this place and enable that sense to the knowledge in which they've met with you. Yeah, in Jesus' name, amen. That was more rambly than usual. Marvelous. Okay, so we need to set up, establish communications. Okay, so I'll kind of, do some kind of gesturing, nodding kind of weirdness, pointing your way. Okay, so let's have the next slide. Okay, so just so we eliminate confusion, I believe there are two Josephs in the Bible. This is the New Testament Joseph, sometimes known as Joseph the carpenter, or Joseph, husband of Mary, or, we have to be careful with this last one, Joseph, father of Jesus. Now, it's not usually used in the Bible in this way, but if it was father as in God the Father, it would be capital F for Father, and it's lowercase f, implying lesser kind of father. Okay, so that's who we're talking about. Good. If there's any further confusion, for some of you, you may be aware that actually Joseph is a patron saint of a lot of things. Did you know that? Okay. Well, we're going to be educated. Okay, let's have the next slide. So he's the patron saint of all of these things, which is the patron saint of a happy death. Now, that might seem like an oxymoron, but this is because of a writing, which is an interesting piece, called cunningly entitled Joseph the Carpenter, that appeared in 5th century AD, where it tells the tale of Jesus and Mary being with Joseph when he died. Of course, in that version, Jesus and Mary both died before Joseph, and then they'd come back to comfort him in his passing. So that's where that came from. So it was happy that his wife and son, who were dead, had come. Yeah, okay. Moving on. Right, so the Americas, Austria, Belgium, Canada, China, Croatia, Mexico, Korea, Peru, the Philippines, Vietnam, as well as families, fathers, expectant mothers, just in case you didn't know what expectant mothers were, pregnant women, travelers, immigrants, house sellers and buyers, craftsmen, engineers, and working people in general. That's a whole bunch of patronage that Joseph is responsible for. Okay, now it's interesting because Joseph doesn't appear that much in the Bible. So we've got a reading here. This is the reading from Matthew. And it's Joseph accepting Jesus as his son. Can you even read that? I'm looking at that and it's like, what the? So, yeah, that's better, isn't it? Okay, so. Verse 18, this is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law, and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded and took Mary home as his wife. Okay, that's one passage. I wonder, this might be a bit of a thing. We've got a second passage here, and just to save my brilliant reading skills, I wonder whether somebody else might have a go at reading this one, just to give you another voice. If you want to, whoever gets the microphone first, it's like have a microphone race or something. Okay, thank you, Liz.
In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there were no guest room available for them. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see the thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherd said to them.
Thank you so much. There is a little bit more in Luke when they take Jesus to the temple to be blessed. And then there's also the couple of dreams that Joseph has saying, "Go to Egypt," and then "Come back from Egypt." And then the last mention is when Jesus is 12, when they're on the way to the on the way back from visiting the Jerusalem for the Passover, and oh gosh, where's Jesus? And they have to rush back. And those are the only mentions of this here Joseph. So I think it's time for us, having read most of the text of the mention of the Jesus, Joseph even, wow, not the Jesus, there's a lot on the Jesus, which is good. We've got a bunch of questions for you. And I'm hoping that you're going to be able to answer them. And if you can't, then, well, we'll have to start giving black marks or something, crosses, red X's. Yes, do the thing. Oh, the thing's not working. It is working. Look at that. Who was Joseph? Now, that's what we're going to explore. That's just an entry question, but if anybody's got the answer to that right now, you don't know because you don't know what I'm asking, really. What do you mean by that, Carl? Okay, where was he from? Woohoo! Gold star goes to Joan. I should like keep a little tally here and see who comes up with the most answers. Yes, he was from Bethlehem. Hence, he had to go back to Bethlehem to register. Okay, but when, okay, subsequent other question. Where was he living? Nazareth. Well done. No trick questions. Well, probably they are. You know, what can I tell you? That is essentially... Oh, I've got a thing a bit later for that. I don't know. Right, so who were his parents? If you know the answer to this one, come on. I did... this is a bit of a cheat because there are two genealogies, one in Luke, one in Matthew, that talk about who the parents of everybody from Abraham... Actually, one does go from Adam all the way down to Jesus. Anybody want to hazard a guess? Okay, now I'll give you a clue. One of them is, actually there are two people in the Bible that are supposedly Joseph's dad. Different genealogies, completely different genealogies. And the reason for that is one traces it back to the royal line of of David, and the other kind of chooses a slightly more scenic route, which is interesting. So he's got two fathers, a bit like Jesus. One of the fathers is also the same as the other, Joseph. Jacob is named as Joseph, the carpenter's dad, but also another chap called Heli, H-E-L-I, which is, I don't know what that means. Anyway, there we are. Wonderful. Okay, what did he do? Carpenter, they say with absolute confidence. Well, that's interesting. Oh, yes, here we are. I got Google mapped it. This is where they were about to go. That's Nazareth up there. And Bethlehem is just south of Jerusalem. And if you were to do it today, now I don't know whether they'd have gone that route. It seems like quite a long way around. What's wrong with that yellow one in the middle? I don't know. Perhaps it's like mountain country or something. Anyway, about 33 hours, day and a half-ish, it take you to walk that. I don't know what the speed is with donkey. There's not an option on Google Maps to go with donkey. So I thought I'd slide that in. Right, good, yes. So, carpenter, you say. Okay, the word is called techon. What does that sound like? Technical. That's the root word that we get for technology. So it was sort of implied, and then they've done this jigsaw puzzle of bits and pieces from other sources where there's kind of like later bits where it's mentioned that Jesus had done some making of, what's that thing, yokes and whatnot. But these are much later texts that's not in the Bible. But it was kind of the most common use for it is something called Nagar, a carpenter. But I like the thing that they do here. It signifies a very learned man and suggests that it could be considered wise and highly literate in the Torah. I don't know how they get that from carpenter, because our understanding of carpenter is different. But we're fairly sure that's why he's the patron saint of all these things, you know, practical, very practical man kind of thing. But it's kind of, I think that what they're trying to say is he was really skilled. He was like properly good carpenter, not just budget carpenter or something. Not like Homer Simpson decides to be a carpenter. Okay, so let's have another question. Yes, hopefully more questions. Okay, yes, good question. How old was he? How old was Joseph? Kind of ballpark figure. What do we think? Right, we've got 30. What? 10 years older than the bride, and you've 23. Wow, this is some good maths we're doing here, isn't it? It's amazing. What did you say? 16, did you say? Okay, right. So you reckon 40s? 45? Just 40. Okay, right. Now, there isn't a specific age that's given to him, but them there, I'll rephrase the way I say this, just in case I could have potentially caused offense with that phrasing. Okay, in Catholic writings, in that story that I mentioned, there's a big story called Joseph the Carpenter. Did I mention that? I did, didn't I? Good. Okay, in this story that appeared in the 5th century, it has Joseph as 90. Oh my golly gosh and goodness. And he died at the age of 111. But then the maths doesn't make sense on that, because that's the age at which Jesus comes into his life through Mary, but if Jesus lived until he was 30, then he would have been older than that, right? Anyway, doesn't matter. So, I think we've got a good answer there. We got a nice splattering of stuff. We don't really know, is the answer. That's a good answer. Was he married before? Oh my golly gosh. Oh, look at, got some good frowning faces and shaking of heads. That wasn't included in the text, was it? Again, in the story of Joseph the carpenter, it talks about him having a wife before who died, and he had four children. No, six children with her. Four boys and two girls. So this is, the interesting thing with Catholic theology is that they, in some slants, believe that the Virgin Mary was the perpetual Virgin Mary, meaning that Joseph and her never got it on, kind of thing. And so therefore she was, you know, kind of always virgin. So that's Catholic perspective. Generally, kind of Protestant perspective is, we don't really have much to say about that. Probably because there doesn't seem to be a lot of evidence to say anything about it. So, and I think the thing, having read a good chunk of Joseph the Carpenter, I have to say, it appearing 5 centuries afterwards is a little bit dubious. And having then kind of read it, it spends an awfully long amount of time talking about, what does it do? It talks about Joseph's death for quite some time, and it seems a little bit kind of self-indulgent. Just my opinion. But it's out there. Just Google Joseph the Carpenter, and that will pop up. And have a read if you want. Okay, where are we at? So maybe stepbrothers or maybe not. Good? What's the next one? What did he look like? Did someone say ugly? You think that God, Father in heaven, chose an ugly man to be... I can't hear this heckling. Okay, let's have a look. Here are some classic images of the Joseph. Which one? What, the dog? I like this one because Jesus is playing with a dog. I like that Jesus might have had a dog. But what about the one on the left? Is that any good? As you can see, the ones that are heavily influenced by the Catholic thinking are the ones on the right, or the one on the right. What about this one? No. Okay, what about this for a question? No. Was Joseph the Carpenter really Obi-Wan Kenobi? That's what I thought of as soon as I saw that image. What about this? This is weird. So there's, I presume, the winged... is probably Jesus, and then one reading the book's probably Mary. Don't know who that is at the door. He looks quite a stern person. And then presumably Joseph messing around with bits of wood in the annex. They're all white. Well, yeah, there's a reason for that. Because the people who were doing the painting were probably Italian. Maybe. Okay, so this is an image from the movie, I think it's called The Nativity, which it is a really good turn. I heartily recommend it. However, do know, having watched it, it wasn't quite one of those films where I went, whoa, gosh, and raged at the television because I saw things that I didn't like to see. But it is heavily influenced by the Catholic kind of thinking on this. And the Catholic version in Joseph the Carpenter talks about Jesus being born in the cave of, is it the cave of Rachel, I think? Which is just north of Bethlehem. It's kind of, anyway, interesting. What I did love in the reading today, and I will say it because this is like, Kim will probably go, oh my gosh, not that again. In the reading, we got this bit. Where is it? Come on. It's here somewhere. Something about a guest room. You know, the no room in the inn? Dropping that, no room in the guest room. No innkeeper is mentioned in the story. No stable is mentioned in the story. Possibly a cave, because there was a lot of cave dwellings with sort of annexes built on them and weirdness. So, no room in the guest room. Guest room is really too posh. The actual translation is upper room, which we've heard of one of those before. Anyway, right. So we've done the what did he look like. I think that possibly something like this. Not this one, sorry, there's another one, isn't there? Yeah, probably not like that. That's just a bit strange, but possibly something like that, maybe. Okay, now then, interesting question. Where is he later on? Which also discredits the 111-year-old Joseph thing. Where is he from 12? We don't hear anything of him.
Probably dead.
We don't hear about him in any of Jesus' ministry. And furthermore, this is surely absolutely conclusive proof. When Jesus is on the cross in John, he says to John, presumably John, the disciple that Jesus loved, behold, this is my mum. Paraphrasing, and hey, John, take my mum and take care of her because I'm on the cross. So there would have been absolutely no need for that to happen if Joseph was still around. Of course, I suppose there is probably a third option in there or something, that they had a divorce, but that seems unlikely. Okay. So, this one is the main one. I know most of them have been a bit, you know. This is the main one that you should be able to have some insight, some take on. And in some respects, kind of the most important thing. What was he like? Do we get any kind of sense? I've put enough distance with my blathering so you now can't remember what you read, but there is some good clues in that early stuff. Any ideas? Oh, we've got a few hands. We'll have Aubrey and then Liz. And... why do you say that? Bingo. But sense that there was a legal, he was a man of the law, but yet there's an issue here, and if I do this, then trouble at her door. What were you going to say, Liz? Yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah. There is a thing. What is it? That kind of comes in slightly, sort of contrary to Joseph being a great man of faith. There's almost this kind of sense in which he was a practical guy. And the only sliver, and it's like trying to build a house on a matchstick, I think, is in his response to Jesus when they're dragging him out of the temple. Basically, he's what's the appropriate phrasing? Like, what on earth have you been doing, boy, kind of thing. And he's like, well, I've been in my father's house. Well, don't, you know, what's that about? Kind of thing. If he had known all about Jesus's brilliance and all this kind of stuff, if he was fully aware, then surely to goodness it wouldn't have come as a surprise. Of course, Mary's recorded of saying she stored all these things in her heart, treasured them up in her heart, whereas his response seemed to be a bit more, oh my goodness, we've just had to walk all the way back here, which actually seems like a really reasonable parent-type thing that you would have to say in those circumstances, because he'd been missing for, what was it, 3 days or something. So quite relieved and also annoyed. Seems reasonable. Okay. Any more kind of insights as to what we think he might? Ooh, he knew the Lord's voice. So you, by that you mean that he has this vision. Interesting, isn't it, that Joseph, the two Josephs in the Bible, heavily dream-orientated dudes, possibly because he was a very practical man. I don't know. Okay, I've got a thing that's a little bit out there that I'm just trying to give a full warning. I'm going to attempt to role-play Joseph at prayer following the vision that he's received, kind of like the next morning. He's got up and he's trying to understand what's going on. Okay? Right, I think I'll take my thing off because I'm warm.
Wow, that sounded really good.
There is a chance in which I might become emotional. It's okay. I'm not like, what do you call it? I'm not harmed in the process. I'm just trying to do some thinking. So I wrote some stuff down, and I'll see where we get to. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for the way you provide for me. Blessed and great are your ways. I thank you, Lord. You never desert me, and you have always been present in my life. Thank you, Father, for perfect Mary. She is an incredible joy, and I thank you that I have the blessing that we will be wed. My father, I do not understand. Was I not what she wanted? Am I not a good man? I have fallen in love with her. I do not understand why is she with child? I understand that the heart wants what it wants. Why did you have to let her? Have I not been faithful to you, Lord? And this half-baked angel story, what life for her now? What life for her now? Will this man come forward? Will he not? I will divorce her quietly. I fear for her, Lord. I will not see her harmed. I do not understand. I do not understand these lies. Why would she? Does she blaspheme? And this talk of angels. I can't get this dream out of my head, Father. An angel telling me I can take her as my wife, and she carries your son. This is just nonsense talk. Nonsense talk. I wish it were true. All of this would just work. If this were your plan, Lord, you would have chosen somebody more important than me. I know I'm of David's line, but so are lots of people. Before all this, I could see why Mary, she's so wonderful, so good, and so pure. Not me, Lord. I'm just a carpenter from Nazareth, not a king, and nobody from Bethlehem. I need it out of my head, like it's not tough enough without starting to imagine things. Father, give me peace. If it were true, surely I would know. Surely you would give me a sign. Could this be, Lord? Could this be? Oh God, hear my plea and give me peace in this. Is this what you're saying, Father? Oh my God and King, how foolish have I been. God, forgive me the things I have said to Mary. She was telling the truth. Oh Lord, she was telling the truth. She was pure and faithful. My beautiful Mary. I am not worthy of her. The thoughts I've had, the anger I bore her. I am not worthy to be her husband. How do I be a father to your son? I will love him as one of my own. Guide me, O God. I know not why you have chosen me. I will protect them. I will keep them safe. Holy God, your ways are strange indeed. Thank you for this honor. I will do as the angel told me. I'm not sure what I'll tell my parents. Okay. Have we got a track? She's looking like, oh, what is that? What do you mean? Alex is now coming. So we're going to play a track by the piano guys called O Come, O Come Emmanuel, which is talking of the coming. And I've got three questions to ask you in response to that stuff. If we can make the thing happen, if we can't, we'll just, woo! So play the music and hit the slide.